Since the title of my lesson is 2020 Focus on Jesus, I hope to remind us of a few important truths about Jesus and why it's so crucial that we focus on Him. I first got prescription reading glasses when I was in graduate school and I was taking Hebrew. Not the book of Hebrews, but the Hebrew language. And I took two solid years of Hebrew. At one point, I had thought about going and getting a PhD in Hebrew Bible, and then I realized that I would never talk to anybody again, and I would be in a room studying Hebrew all the time. And I love Hebrew, so I decided to go in a more ministry direction. But I really developed a lot of eye strain looking at those small characters, and so I needed reading glasses. But my vision was still 20/20. Until a couple of years ago. And that's when I noticed I was having trouble seeing things on the computer screen. And then I started noticing that the print in my Bible, somebody decided to shrink it. I was like, that's not nice to shrink somebody's Bible print, you know, where they can't see it anymore. In fact, when I bought this Bible recently, I went online and looked up font sizes. I'd never had to do that in my life. You know, the font size of your Bible, I had to figure that out. And so I got a Bible I could read a little bit better. But then I was also having trouble making out street signs. And I was thinking, now I'm having trouble driving when I see. So I made an appointment with the eye doctor. My wife has a good eye doctor, and she said, I got a good eye doctor for you to go see. So I went, and as you can see, I'm wearing nice glasses now to help me see, progressive lenses. And progressive lenses are at the top of my list of things that will humble you. For a man to get married, have children, a few other things, the iron bowl and progressive lenses. You know, those are things that will humble you. But thankfully, they helped me to see. Focusing on Jesus actually helps us to see the world more clearly. Focusing on Jesus helps us to see the world more clearly. Focusing on Jesus helps us to have an eternal perspective. Focusing on Jesus helps us to live life as it's meant to be lived. Focusing on Jesus helps us bear up under the pressures of life. Focusing on Jesus helps us to become more like Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews urged those struggling Christians to stay focused on Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When David called me about coming and was telling me about the theme, and we started talking about what I would do to kick things off and what I would talk about, I actually thought about Brother Black. And it was a very specific memory for me. I was a student at Fried Hardeman, and it was 1990, and it was a lectureship. And Brother Black was the speaker on Thursday night of the lectureship. And those of you who remember Brother Black, most of you probably do. He stepped up. He had those black glasses on. By the way, I tried to get my wife to let me get VP Black glasses when I got glasses. I said, you know, let me go ahead and try to be more like VP Black. Give me some of those black rim glasses. One day I'm going to have those, by the way. I'm going to have those black rim glasses. They're going to be thick, too. I remember Brother Black. Now, he was 20 years older than I am now. And so I hope in 20 years, if I come back, I'll be able to do this. But he strolled up to the rostrum. He set his Bible out in front of him. He folded his hands, as he was apt to do. And he said, "Behold the Christ." And for 45 minutes, we beheld the Christ. And as a 20-year-old Bible major, that changed me. That was 30 years ago. That changed me indefinitely. From that point on, I wanted to do nothing more than to behold the Christ and to tell people about Jesus. And so I hope for the next little while tonight, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles with me. We're not going to do PowerPoint tonight. We're going to open up. If you got your phone, that's fine too. I do that. But we're just going to be looking at passages of Scripture, and we're going to focus on Jesus. So the bulk of our time is going to be spent in Scripture because it holds the eternal truths about Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior, the Redeemer, the rock of our salvation, our mediator, and our friend. In God's great scheme of redemption, He gave His very best. He sent the one who helped create the world. John chapter 1. Let's start there. John chapter 1. And by the way, I'm going to try to make it easy. We're just going to keep turning further into the New Testament, starting in John 1. So you don't have to backtrack. John 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. He's the conduit of creation, the light that shines in the darkness. And He came down to literally pitch His tents with us. That's what that Greek means. The Word became flesh. He put His tabernacle next to our tabernacle. He moved into our neighborhood. And He never left. He's full of grace and truth. The world needs Jesus. He offers life. He offers grace. He is the truth. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. People in the world are deceived for various reasons as to who Jesus is, but one thing is for sure, He has come to save us and not to condemn us. He wants to save us from ourselves most of all. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8. And verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. The light of life. How amazing is that? How beautiful is that? I love how Revelation unfolds. And it talks about there'll be no darkness. It says there'll be no darkness because the Lamb is the light. And the Lamb is Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 46. I've come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Folks, the world needs to focus on Jesus. And one of the main ways the world's going to focus on Jesus is if we, His followers, will focus on Jesus. If people see the light of life shining through us, they'll be led to Jesus. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus makes three very exclusive claims about himself. And by the way, this makes a lot of folks in the world uncomfortable, but it would make me more uncomfortable to deny it. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I do no one any favors by giving them any idea that there's any other way but Jesus." He's earned that exclusive position. I've studied and taught world religions. I've delved deeply into atheism and agnosticism and humanism and secularism. There is no hope apart from Jesus. Any other path is some sort of self-directed, trying to look for some other way that keeps me from having to follow God. Jesus gave himself, and we should follow him. He's the light. He's the conduit of creation. He is the one who came to save the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Jesus took on flesh in the form of a baby. He lived a perfect life, declaring the truths of God, went to the cross to die, was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose again 3 days later, and weeks later, he returned to sit at God's right hand and make intercession for us. That's what I meant by he never left. He didn't give up working and serving for us. We can't outserve God. The older I've gotten, the more I understand it's so much less about me serving God than it is the fact that God already serves me. I go to sleep at night. He never sleeps nor slumbers. I stumble in sin. He doesn't sin. God doesn't need grace. Jesus doesn't need grace and mercy. I need grace and mercy. He didn't need to die to save himself. He left heaven to come and save us. Amen? In rapid succession, let me share some more beautiful words about Jesus from Scripture. So, together, we'll want nothing more than to focus on Jesus. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For no one will hardly die for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation." 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And listen closely to this. "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul declares boldly in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. In Philippians 1 and verse 21, Paul declares, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And then the next chapter, he is appealing to the Philippians to be united, to be encouraging to one another. Beginning in verse 5, he reminds them and us of who Jesus is and why we must focus on him. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." If you want to know why to focus on Jesus, it's because he's the focus of eternity. Jesus is the focus of eternity. Why not focus on him beginning tonight? Jesus is the one to focus on. Colossians chapter 1. If you didn't think Paul spelled it out clearly in Philippians 2, just listen to part of Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's also head of the body, the church, and he's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." I haven't heard of anybody better than Jesus, have you? I haven't heard of anybody better than Jesus. As we start to bring things to a close tonight, and my wife, by the way, because we have four children, has reminded me frequently to not be a long-winded preacher. She said, "Unless you want to come sit with them, you're going to wrap it up quickly." So as we bring this lesson to a close, just turn with me over to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read the first four verses, and then I'm going to try to bring things to summation. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." If we've been raised up with Christ, I didn't read Colossians chapter 2, but it's a clear reference to baptism that's mentioned in Colossians chapter 2. We're buried with Christ and we're raised up with Christ to walk in newness of life. Then our focus, if we've been raised with Christ, then our focus should be on the things above, not on the temporal things that are here. Why is that? Because that's where Christ is. It's where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's our focus. Now, that doesn't mean that we turn all of our attention to the reward of heaven, but what it means is that we turn our attention to doing the will and desires of Jesus here. When it's time to be revealed with Him, He'll make that happen. That's not my focus. My focus is on Jesus. We've died and have no more self-centered agendas. David mentioned my wife, Chris, and I have been married 25 years. We got married when I first moved to Mobile a few months after I'd moved here. The good folks at the University Church raised us up. And I mean that pretty literally. They raised us up, helped us to know how to be married, encouraged us, loved on us. It worked pretty well because she's still, telling me what to do, and I'm still listening. She's fantastic, by the way. If I'm anything, it's because of my mother, Jesus, and my wife. But we've got four children. My parents live with us. They've been with us for about 3.5 years. My mother has frontotemporal dementia. She's had it since 2011. I watch her go down every day, all day. I work from home. I'm there with her all day. She's beautiful. She's precious. When she was first diagnosed with dementia, she and I had a lot of conversations about focusing on Jesus. We still have those conversations. It helps me get through every day as we deal with the things that are going on with her. But sometimes I get pretty tired. And so I've got a t-shirt I go put on. It's getting kind of faded now. But it says, it's not about me. It's not about me. I put it on and I go look in the mirror and take a good long look at it. And it says, it's not about me. And I wear it all day. It's about Jesus and everybody else. Our focus should be on living for Him every day. And the Bible is clear about how we should do that. And it's by looking at those greatest commands that He tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's part of focusing on Jesus. And Paul is so clear. And he says so poignantly, Christ is our life. Amen? Christ is our life. Christ is our life. Focus on Jesus. Our lives are to be hidden in Him. He will reveal Himself plainly again, and we will share in His glory forever and ever and ever. And that time's coming far quicker than any of us imagine, and I'm not disappointed. Focusing on Jesus helps us to see the world more clearly. Focusing on Jesus helps us to have an eternal perspective. Focusing on Jesus helps us to live life as it's meant to be lived. Focusing on Jesus helps us to bear up under the pressures of life, and focusing on Jesus helps me to become more like Him. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to focus on Jesus. not only this year, but every year to come until He comes to bring us home and our glory is revealed with Him. May our lives be hidden in Christ. May the world see Jesus as we focus on Him each and every day. And it's through His precious name we pray. Amen. Maybe tonight you've been sparked to think more about Jesus and to become a Christian. Maybe you've been thinking there tonight, it's time for me to come to the way, the truth, and the life. It's time for me to come and to take hold of the life that is truly life. It's time for me to come and be crucified with Christ, to confess my faith in Him, to repent of my sins, to be buried with Him in the waters of baptism, to rise up, to walk in newness of life, to share in His resurrection, and to live for Him each and every day. Maybe you're here and you're struggling with something. Maybe you just need the prayers of this body tonight. Whatever your need is, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?